So we're going to start Perek Mem Beis today. It comes out on page 117. V'hinei, b'mashe kasavnu da'el, b'inyan yira tato, with what we wrote earlier about the concept of yira tato. What he's addressing here is that there's two types of awe, two types of fear. One of them is called yira ila, which is a more exalted, more sublime form of awe and fear. But then there's what we call everyday fear. Earlier he addressed it along the lines of, we should know that somebody's watching. Just like we wouldn't do things that are inappropriate if somebody was standing there watching. So we should at least give God that much credit, that he's watching. And therefore, our behavior should reflect that. With what this concept that we wrote earlier, Yuvan Hetiv, with this we can understand a very famous Chazal, Mashikosuv b'Gemara, Al Pasuk v'Ata Yisrael, Mo Hashem l'kecha shayl me'imach, Kim l'yiris Hashem l'kecha. Pasuk in Dvarim says, and now, Klal Yisrael, what is Hashem you got asking of you? Kim l'yira, other than to fear Hashem, your God. It makes it sound like this is a very easy, effortless kind of thing. After all, what am I asking of you? So the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says, "Otu yira milsa zutusi?" What, is fear, is awe, something so insignificant that you address it as, and now Israel, what am I asking of you already? Answers the Gemara, for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a very small thing. Not a big deal for Moshe to have fear. Says the Baal Tanya, the question that all the commentaries ask. What kind of answer is that? Hateretz. It doesn't say that he's asking it of Moshe. He says he's asking it of us. So if he's asking it of us, what are you saying? What? Is Begir such a big deal? And your answer, no, for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not a big deal. Moshe's talking to us. Moshe's not talking to himself. So for us, it is a big deal. So we need to address, how is it that somehow this answer of somehow relating to Moshe Rabbeinu makes Yira not being a big deal? Ela inyanu. Here's the concept. Kinol kikol nefesh v'nefesh mebeis Yisrael. Each and every Jewish soul. Yes, ba'mipchinas Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. Each Jewish soul has in it a component of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Ki hu meshiva ro'im hamamshichim chiyas velikus leklolus nishmas Yisro. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the seven shepherds who draw. What's the job of a shepherd? The job of a shepherd is to cultivate, to give life, to sustain his flock. So there were seven Royim, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the seven Ishbizin, maybe perhaps down at the end there's some different changes. But clearly it's starts Moshe, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Dato Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Reya Mehemna. He's called the trusted shepherd of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the seven, Hamamshichim Chiyas Ve'elikus, who draw a life, sustenance, and godliness to all of our souls. Shelachein nikroim b'shem roim. Meaning, he says the fact that they're called the seven shepherds is not because they were seven really neat, influential guys. Shepherds means that it is a continuous feed of life force for us throughout the ages. It's an ongoing cultivation. Now, each one of them has their specialty area. So Avram cultivates chesed, and Yitzchak cultivates gevura, and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu, olav hashalom, hu klolos kulam. Moshe Rabbeinu isn't just one of the shepherds. Moshe Rabbeinu is the shepherd. He is a conglomerate of all them. V'nikra reya mehem. He's called the trusted shepherd. What is mehem? He's going to go into several different observations about what this word mehemna. Mehemna means trusted. Mehemna means emuna, right? Dehainu, that is to say, shemam shech pchines hadas, the klodas Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu's job his particular form of shepherding is that he is the one who cultivates Das. What is Das? Leida es Hashem, to know God. Kol echad kefi hasagas nishmosai, for each of us. He cultivates knowledge of God for each of us according to our acquisition, our power of grasp. What's more, vishar shalamayla, according to the quality and the root of our soul above. Viginikasa mishayresh nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu hamushreshes b'dasa elyon shebiyud svidus da'atzilis hamiyuchades b'matzilim baruch hu. We, each of us, draws our strength, we draw our yinika, our life source, from the root of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul, who in turn is bound with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the highest world of Atzilus. Where at that point, Shehu V'dayitoy Echad. How deep is Moshe Rabbeinu's Das? Meaning, there's knowing, and there's knowing. Moshe Rabbeinu's Das is from a world which is so unified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Shehu V'dayitoy Echad, that the true Das is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his knowledge are one and the same. Meaning, you can have a human being who has distance from their Das. We are not synonymous with our Das. We have us, and we have our intellect. Our intellect can survive long after we're gone. We can put it on paper. We can record it for the ages. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he and his Das are one. V'hu Amad, as the Rambam writes, he is the knower and the known and the knowledge all at the same time. So, first of all, premise number one that he builds here is every Jew has a spark of Moshe. And we can turn to that at any time. We're going to talk soon about how we get in touch with it. But that's level number one, is that we all have that spark. What's more, after the period, v'oidzais, but more than that, yesterday came, even on a greater level, b'chol dor v'dor yordin nitzaitzin menishmas Moshe Rabbeinu alav v'sholem, in each and every generation, there is a larger, a greater flame of Moshe Rabbeinu, u'mislabshim m'guv v'nefesh shochach me'ador. That embodiment of Moshe Rabbeinu is contained in the greats of every generation. Einei ha'eda, the eyes of the community. Lelame das es ha'am, to, in turn, turn to the nation and teach them das. Veleida t'no gedulas Hashem, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ula'avdai b'lev v'nefesh, and how to serve Him. What's the definition of great Jews? It's the Jews who are able to inspire Klal Yisrael to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the brilliant people. It's not the knowledgeable people. It's the leaders who are able to teach the nation to know Gedulas Hashem, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ula'avdai, and to inspire them to serve b'lev v'nefesh, with heart and soul. Very interesting definition of the leaders of Klal Yisrael.
Now
he's saying that in addition to the fact that every Jew has a spark of Moshe, there is a larger flame of Moshe that exists in the greats of each generation. Ki avoida shebelev, because we must understand one thing, and that is that our service in the heart, referring to davening, ki lefi hadas, will always be commensurate with our level of integration. Kamesh Ksiv, he says, where do I get this idea from? Why am I connecting those two concepts in particular? Because the Pasuk says so. The Pasuk says, Da es alikei avicha, know the God of your father. The result will be v'avdehu, and you will serve Him. Service, b'lev shalem, service with a full heart, is dependent upon the integration of Das. Das hat the kavira va'avdeu b'leiv shalom v'nefesh chafetza. Only when we have integration can we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a whole heart and a yearning soul. U'la'osei du'aymer, and in the world to come it says, v'le'yilmedu eshes riei lemer. We're not going to need anybody to teach us to say, du'u es Hashem, get to know God. K'kulam yedu es, they're all going to know Him already. Again, you see the connection between das and service. Okay? Now, it's nice that you introduced me to that concept. But what is das? What does this mean? Here he goes. Second line from the bottom, end of the line. Ach ikir hadas. But we must remember that the truth about das is eni hayidia levada. This is not an IQ issue. It's not a knowledge issue of knowing it up here. Okay? Sheyedu gedudas Hashem mipi soifrim o mipi svarim. It doesn't mean the knowledge of Hashem from books. You got a copy up there. And from wise men. It doesn't mean listening to a lot of classes and having a lot of book knowledge. What is it? Elo ha'ikiru la'amikdait, up at the top of 118. Ha'ikiru, the main component of das, is la'amikdait, is to envelop, to entrench one's active mind, bigdulas Hashem, in ideas of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'liskoya machshavtoi ba'Hashem, and to embed one's thoughts, active thinking in Hashem, b'chozik v'emet alev, with determination and stick-to-itiveness. V'amayach, active thinking. Ad shetei machshavte mikusheres b'Hashem, until we're able to connect our thoughts to godliness, b'kesher amitz v'chozik, with a tight knot, k'mayshe mikusheres b'davar gashmi, sheroye b'enei basa. You know how deeply we can connect our thinking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? As deeply as we can connect our thoughts to something physical that we can see with the flesh. That's how deeply we need to come to the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To get into it like we get into any other physical concept that we have the ability to really get into in a big way. Umamik by machshavta, and we can envelop our thoughts in it. Kenoida. He says, why am I saying this? Why is this necessary as far as das goes? Why does it involve this active, what he's talking about, an active entrenching in the mind, pondering and getting into it fully with our thoughts? Because das requires a bond. It's not just having it in your hard drive. It's active connection. Kemoi, like we see in the Torah. The Adam Yodas Chava, each day the Pasuk says that man knew Chava. There was das between him and Chava. Now, each of us is thinking now, well, that's great for you, Balatanya. But this is, you're not talking to us. We don't have the ability to do this. Says Balatanya, Vikoyach Ze Umidazu, the capacity to do this, and this attribute of das, likasha daita b'Hashem, this ability that we can bond our minds with God, with godliness, yesh b'chol nefesh mebeis Yisrael, every single Jew has it. How? B'yinikasa minishmas Moshe Rabbeinu v'shalom, because it lives off of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Every neshama has a draw, has a connection to the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rak me'acha shenislab shanefesh b'guf. The problem is that most of us have our souls are contained in bodies. Last we check, and therefore tzricha liyigir rab about tzumik fulam kapelas. The body is really not interested in the same stuff as the soul, and for this reason, for us to get to connect our minds to anything godly requires incredible amount of effort. Incredible amounts of energy, of toil. Right after the period. Ha'achas, the first effort that's required, is yigiyas basar, is physical work. Levatish as a guf, to he uses a strong word, to beat up on the body, to degrade the body, ulachniyai, to humble it, shelo yachshech al ha nefesh, that it stops interfering and darkening and shadowing over the neshama. We quoted this earlier. In the name of the Zohar, the Gufa, the Lay Salik Bein Nahir, the Neshama. So if you have a body that's not allowing the light of the Neshama to appear, Mevachin Lay, beat it. The Marshal, the Zohar gives there, is it's like a piece of wood. What do you do if you have a piece of, if you have a log? The fire's not catching it. So you break up the log into smaller pieces, and then the fire catches. How are you supposed to do this? What is he talking about? Fasting? Is he talking about burning our fingers in fire? Says the Baal Tanya, V'hainu al yidei hirhurei tshuva mi'emek alev, k'meshe kasavti sham. The way to beat up on the body is by contemplating tshuva, by thinking about where we've been, what we've done, how short our avoda has been. That's how you beat up on the body. V'hashenis. So that's step number one. Get the body out of the way. V'yashen is hiyigiyas hanefesh. The second is toil of the soul. What does that mean? Sheleitich ba'daleo ha'aveda. Liyageya machshavta lahamik ulizbeinim b'gdudas Hashem. That this concept of pursuing godly thought should not be a burden on the mind, on the neshama. Shag doyle ritzufa, even for an extended period of time. Meaning, our neshamas, even our intellect, is going to say to us, you got better things to do with your time. Not the body. The neshama. The nefesh is going to say to us, you could be learning now. There's Baba Mitzi and Baba Basra waiting for you. Don't waste your time with this godly stuff. He says, no. And he says, it requires sometimes extended periods of time. Why? Kishir shazu, the time that it's going to take, ain neshama b'chol nefesh. It's not equal in all people. Yesh nefesh zaka b'tiva. There are some pure souls, very, very irritating people. Shemiyad shemiz b'ynenes b'gdulas Hashem. The moment they begin getting contemplating anything godly, immediately they're overcome with awe and fear and inspiration, and they get all excited. And you've seen people like this, I'm sure. They're really, really irritating. Yeah. As is brought in Shulchan Aruch.
Maybe they're just making their bodies do that.
I don't think so. There are people who have pure souls. Because she is buying an Adam. Here's the Shulchan. By the way, he says, he points out that this isn't Chesedic. There's a book called the Shulchan Aruch, created for all Jews. And in Siman Aleph it says, Kishi is bein in Adam, if a person contemplates, Sheh melech ha-godol, melech malach ha-melech ha-makadosh baruch hu, that the king of all kings, the master of the world, Asher malei kol haaretz kevodei, whose presence suffuses the entire world, Oymed alav, he's standing over me, V'ra'i b'mayisim, and he's watching my actions, says the Shulchan Aruch, Miyad Yagyei Lavayir, he'll immediately be overcome by fear. Interesting. Doesn't do it to me. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Why? Because he's talking to a very pure soul who is easily inspired.
Children.
True. But for the rest of us, V'yesh Nefesh Shveila B'tiva, there are other lowly souls who have naturally less inspired lives. And it's not our fault. They stem from a lower place. And it's very hard for people like this to find in their natural thoughts godliness. Unless it comes with struggle, ubechazaka, and by force, ubefrat, and especially imhutma bechatas neurim, especially for people who in their youth fooled around with certain types of sins, shavayin is mavdilim v'chulu, because those types of sins create barriers and they stop inspiration from happening. That's the nature. The Sefer Chassidim addresses it, that that's one of the results of the sins of the youth. So there's two types of Jews. There are inspired Jews. People who, the minute they hear somebody, you know, the guys who love every shiur they hear, and they're so inspired and moved, and like those kinds of people. And then there's the rest of us who are thick-headed, and we can hear all kinds of things, and it doesn't move us, and it's going to take hard work to move us to inspiration.
Will not just prove
it is worth it? Wait. Yes, absolutely it proves it. Umi kalmakim, right after the brackets, three lines from the bottom on 118. Umi kalmakim, bikushi b'chazak, with hard work and with force. Shetischazik ma'id b'machshavtei ba'imit v'yirab, if the person really puts in the work with toil and with work, v'yimikodl in depth, lahamik b'gdudas Hashem, to really envelop one's mind in godly thoughts, shogadayla, for an extended period of time. At least the person will come to an entry level of fear. How do I know? Because our sages tell us, if you worked and you found it, then believe it. Now this really spooked me out. Because last week, we learned the piece of Priya Aretz. And the Priya Aretz spoke about digging up the treasure, right? Digging for the silver. And that we know that when we're digging, we're going to find it. The digging itself becomes less difficult. And he quoted that that's the meaning of Yigati Umitsasi. If you worked and you found, Tamin, it's because you believed, okay? Now look what happens here. And I had not seen this parak yet.
The digging up becomes the silver.
No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said that if you know that it's there,
the work becomes lighter.
And it's, he says, you got the umitzosi tam, and it's because you believe. Look what he does here. You got the umitzosi tam. What's the next, very next thing he says? If you go looking for it like silver, and you go searching it like the treasure. Az tavin, Yiras Hashem, then you'll understand the fear of God. Pirish, this is incredible. You have to remember, he was a disciple of Mendel Vitebsker. Pirish, kederech shemechapis odamat mein v'oitzera tamin betachtiyas ha'aretz. Just like a person is going and searching for a treasure that he knows is there in the depth. Shechoy ferachrov, that he goes digging, b'yigiyatzuma, with tremendous geshmak, because I know there's a treasure down there. Kach, Tzorich lachpor, so too we need to dig, be a gia atzuma, with tremendous industry, legales, to reveal oitzer shel yiras shamayim, the wealth, the treasure chest of awe of God. Where is it? Hatzofon u'muster bebinas halev, it is concealed and hidden in the understanding of every one of our hearts. Shekol adam Yisrael shibchino u'madrega shalamal miyazman. Why do we got to go looking for it? Because the reason it's out of touch with us is because it is timeless. It's not on the same radio frequency. We are operating in time. This treasure vault of Yerushalayim is coming from a place that exists above time. Vehi hayira hativius hamusateres and all. There's tremendous relief in that. We don't have to create the yira. This awe is embedded in our being. It's there. You got to dig for it and reveal it, but it's there. Rak, shekidei shetova didei maisa, in order for it to come to fruition, bibchinis yiraschet, to be real, to the point where, can you guys imagine this? That our fear would actually stop us from doing something wrong? I mean, this is pretty cool stuff. Imagine if, right? Is that Graham? Imagine if we actually experienced enough God-fearingness that it would stop us from doing something that we wanted to do, but we stop because we fear God. Not because somebody else is going to see it. Okay? Go back again. In order for it to come to fruition, in real living fear of sin, to actively stop doing evil, imagine, in action, in speech, in thought, wow, we want to experience it, go dig it up, dig into your being, reveal it from the concealment of our hearts, in that place which exists above time. Le'avia. How do we do it? We bring it, l'pchinas machshava mamish, into real-time thought. Shebemayach. La'amik b'machshavte. For our minds to grasp it, to hold on to it. Meshech zman ma. Imagine, there's a concept of thoughts that lasts more than a second. Wow. Until it will be able to have its effect, from potential to reality. What is reality? That is, it will actually bring us to not do something wrong, and it will inspire us to do something right. In any one of the three realms, thought, speech, and deed. How? Mipnei Hashem. Hatsoyfe umabit. Because there is God. He's looking. He's staring. Umazin umakshiv. And he's listening to our thoughts. There's a probe in our brains that allows the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to listen to our thoughts. Umevin al kol maseihu. Knows and understands all of our actions. Ubaychin kliyos avaliba, the Rabbi Shalom inspects our kishkes and our hearts. Ukabai Machazal, he says, I'm not telling you anything that Chazal didn't tell us. Chazal tell us, he's stark el bishleisha dvarim, yatabali dechet, look at three things and you're not going to come to sin. What are the three things? Ayin roya, the Rabbi Shalom is looking, uvaisin shaymas, and there's an ear that's listening. So now he throws a curveball. This is very clever. He says, okay, if my wife is watching what I'm doing, so I'm afraid. Because if she catches me doing something she doesn't want me to do, I'm going to be in big trouble and I'm not going to get supper tomorrow night, right? But it's, God's an intangible. It's very hard to work up real fear for somebody you can't see. He says, no, exactly the opposite. Although God does not have any physical components, but quite the contrary. Because he's not physical, therefore he could be looking at me and you at the same time, even if we're in two different places. Everything is revealed in before him manifold times more, infinite times more. Miriyas ha'ayin, vishmiyas ha'ayin. More so than if there was any physical eye or any physical ear. Al derech mashal. So how does it work? So he gives us a way to wrap our minds around this concept. How is it that Hashem knows? Okay, so he gives us a way to relate to it. On the way of a parable. K'may Adam, like a person. Hayadeu magish ba'atzmai, who knows and feels within himself. We know everything that's going on in any one of our limbs. Nobody has to come tap us on the shoulder and say, psst, you're missing your leg. Or, you know, there is smoke coming out of your foot because it's burning or whatever it is, right? There is a disease of people who don't feel pain. But like cold or heat. Even something that's going on the fingernail, on the toenail. If we burn it, I don't know how you burn your toenail, but people can manage. Because they are part of my essence. It's part of my being. And therefore, if all my should be spoiled by him, anything that goes on in my body, yedeyu margish b'moichai, I'm going to know in my mind what's going on in my body. Izu ke'ein yedu az yediyazu. use that, he says, as your method of understanding how the Rebbeinu Shel Olam knows everything we're doing. Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol hanifel b'chol hanivraim. For this reason, God knows everything that's going on in every creation, above and below. Because they're all components of Him. They're all extensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything comes from you, God. And this is the meaning of what we say in Rosh Hashanah Davening. There's no creation that's concealed from you, God. Because everything is only an emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Rambam writes, that the Mikubalim agreed to the Rambam, the Rambam writes that with God's self-knowledge, He knows about every existence, just from the truth of His existence. Rak. We must understand. This parable that we're giving, that just like a person knows what's going on with his body, Hashem knows what's going on in the world, is really only a way to give us some method to wrap our heads around it. The truth is, the parable is totally off. Why? Because the soul of the person, even the godly soul, there's impact. When the toe hurts, the whole body's impacted. There's change going on. And its pain, the reason even the soul is impacted is because the soul, when it's in the body, is completely connected and integrated. God is unchanged by anything that goes on in the world, even though He knows everything, but He's unchanged. He's not changed from anything in the world. Nothing in the world can change God. In order to understand this well, in our intellect, all of the wise men have already talked about this in their books, the fact that Hashem knows everything. But you know what? We don't need the books. We all know this. We all know that Hashem is not impacted by the world. Because all of us say every day, we all say every day, you are the same God that existed before creation. You're the same God that exists after creation. Hashem is not impacted by our actions, by the happenings of man at all. All right, so we will take it up in Mitzvah Hashem from here, page 120, next Wednesday, God willing.